And so, Father, we thank you for answered prayers. We thank you also that all our petitions and requests, spoken of and unspoken of, are answered. We give all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are going to be looking at something very briefly. I think it's going to set the tone for other further conversations. And I believe strongly that this evening, very shortly, we're going to be looking at something very important. And in discipleship, we don't play the role of assumptions, right? So we don't assume that you should know some things. And it shouldn't be assumed that you have clarity and understanding into some things. It has to be taught. So everything has to be taught. And when I say everything, I mean everything, including how to take notes. As doctrinal that might be, it still has to be taught. So in discipleship, there are no assumptions. You don't assume that somebody has understanding into the practice or culture, right? Everything has to be taught. And so we, or I as your teacher, is going to make sure I see how I can teach everything as time goes on. Today and probably in the following days upcoming, we are going to look at how to receive and profit from your pastor's words. How to receive and profit from your pastor's words. And I'm going to be taking some time to teach on this, because it's not supposed to be assumed that you know how to receive and to profit from your pastor's words. It's not supposed to be assumed. I have to teach you. And so I'll have to take some time doing that. But before we get into this wonderful teaching, I strongly believe that the office of a pastor cannot be underestimated. While in fact, we appreciate the apostle who happens to be the sent one. We appreciate those who are sent. But Imagine if everybody keeps being sent from where they are. It means we're never going to have a stable congregation. And there's also the prophet who happens to be the representation of the spokesperson, someone who speaks in one stead. So he's a speaker in God's stead. So he comes out with what God is saying. Beautiful office. He speaks it out and he goes back into the wilderness. Or he goes back into hiding, or he goes back into waiting to have another word to speak, or another word to preach, or another word to teach. Then we have the evangelist, who is likened to the gong gong beater, who is a town crier, who goes out to deliver out messages, evidences of the power of God in miracles and healings, confirming the message preached as well. But evangelists are not stationary in their own self. Right? You keep seeing them move from one city to the other. And then there is the teacher who has special grace and ability to communicate God's word in precepts. They're well arranged, line upon line, precepts upon precepts, explained in clarity, without ambiguity. That's a gift. In fact, all offices are supposed to flow in this primary gift. It's a primary gift. It does not function on its own. Right? Then we have the pastor who is graced by God to stay with the sheep, to cuddle the sheep, to love the sheep, to take care of the people, to be there for the people, there for them in their hard times, be there for them in their good times, be there for them in times where they are not okay, be there for them in times where they are okay. To preach the word of God to them, to encourage them, is to see them grow. And that's quite an office that poses and screams a lot of stability. And you see, there's a pitfall of this particular ministry, and is that the congregation over time gets used to the pastor because they get to hear from him every day. Week in, week out, day in, day out, time in, time out. Sometimes you could hear him for a whole decade, right? You almost have heard him. But it takes quite some humility to not despise that office. And no matter how brilliant other offices are, I have great regard for the pastoral ministry. And that's how the church of Jesus Christ is going to be built. I certainly concur with Kenny Hagin, says that the Lord is doing something, and what he's doing is that he's building strong local churches and then teaching these local churches to flow in the move of the Spirit. So you see that it's so important that if you find yourself in a church with a pastor, right? And sometimes pastors can have, you know, an apostolic sort of office together with the pastoral. Sometimes it could come with the ministry of a prophet and a pastor. It could come with the ministry of a pastor and a teacher, the ministry of a teacher and a prophet. But it's just sandwiched in there very beautifully, right? And so if we are going to say, this person is my pastor, right? How are we supposed to receive from them? and then to not just receive, but to also profit from that ministry. I remember telling someone, I said, once you call someone your pastor, this is my pastor. I find out that it's very true, is that God supernaturally sort of gives them a roadmap, or gives your pastor a roadmap to some very key and important or significant decisions of your life that you should make. It's almost wild in the pastoral ministry. It's almost like he sets your pastor for you. If you can learn to receive that ministry from him, he almost guides you. It's not even he almost, he does guide you, because that's who he is. He's a shepherd, so he guides you. You know, that's the ideology of having a pastor, is that somebody who leads the sheep into their place of grazing, into their place of stay, into their place of stability. So you cannot say, I am a disciple or a sheep under a pastor, but I don't think God leads me by him. That's stupid, right? Already, God gives him the grace to lead you into what he wants you to lead you, or where he wants you to be led to, or what he wants you to do. So the moment you call someone a pastor, the moment you recognize somebody a pastor, the moment you say, this is my pastor, this is somebody I am shepherded by, then you are already telling God, that is somebody that can lead me. And of course, they're going to be leading you into God's plan for your life. So there is how to receive. Because sometimes we're there and we do not know how to receive. And we also don't know how to profit. Because over time, we still get much used to the voice that we hear. And man is just wired like that. But I'm trusting that you are going to be intelligent so that you can receive 2 decades from now, 3 decades from now, 4 decades from now, 5 decades from now. Those words become still fresh with you, and you can carry them along, and you can hold on to them, and you can believe them, and you can walk with them, right? So we're going to look at something very important. It's going to help you, because sometimes you see that I realized this in a congregation I went to, and you know, the people were just careless about their pastor. I said, Jesus, these people are never going to prosper. I knew they were never going to prosper. It's either they left the church to another church, or they were not going to do well. It's true. A church where they don't honor their pastor, it's very difficult. Very difficult. Very difficult to do well. Very difficult to receive blessings from you and that change your life. Very difficult. So, there's a way to receive that puts you in the position of receiving blessings from your pastor. Matthew 9:36. This is Jesus. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. They were like sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus is looking at people, and what he sees is that these people have not been pastored. They are scattered. Scattered means they don't have anyone that they are beaten by issues of life. They are worried about things they're not supposed to be worried about. They feel dejected. They are alone, left to figure it out on their own. They can't read their Bible. They don't understand their Bible. They don't have no zeal for ministry. That's a scattered flock. And there's a reason why he says, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. The word shepherd or pastor, that is the word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, poimen. And oftentimes it's denoted to one whose care and control others have committed themselves to, and whose precepts they follow. So to one whose care and control others have committed themselves to, and whose precepts they follow. So normally, we can call that today like a presiding officer. And the analogy of the shepherd is used very carefully because, you know, normally in the Near East is where they have like a very clear, you know, illustration of poimen or shepherd or pastor, right? And what happened was that this shepherd was responsible for the sheep, responsible for watching out for enemies trying to attack the sheep, defending the sheep from attackers, healing the wounded sheep or the sick sheep, finding and saving lost or trapped sheep, loving them, sharing their lives to earn their trust. So there is that analogy that Jesus uses to communicate to us what is the role of the pastor. What is the role? He gives his life, he loves, he takes care of, he prays for, he shields from danger. Of course, he nurses. And definitely, he has to be rebuking and correcting and guiding and saving. So all of these are so important. Jesus looks outright and he's moved with compassion, because these are sheep. And then they are scattered and they are weary. They are weary in their minds. They don't know God's word. When situations come, they don't know how to apply God's word into the situation. That's a weary sheep. So God sends out the pastor in his place to oversee his people, lest or so that they would not be scattered and they will not be weary. But sometimes you could find some sheep who are ignorant on how that they ought to pay attention to that ministry of the pastor. Now pay attention closely. Don't just start this off and then we'll close. It is so important for you to first realize that you are pastored by words. It is so important, I'll say this, for you to recognize that you are pastored by words. You are being pastored by words. These words are supposed to be precious and divine to you. That is, if you have sense. These words are supposed to be a blessing to you. These words justify you or condemn you when you stand before God. So, what is God doing? Remember, the reasons why the sheep are weary and are scattered is because they have nobody instructing in the direction that they should go. So, the reasons why they are weary, scattered, beaten, battered, is because there is not one that instructs, that leads, that guides. So, what I'm trying to help you see is that God put words in your pastor to make your life with it. I've heard this metaphorically 1,001 times. Pastor, please, the teaching blessed me. Pastor, please, I was blessed. Pastor, please, I was going through this. Pastor, please, I just heard this teaching. And sometimes you can hear different people coming to tell you that the teaching was for them. So now you're wondering, who was the teaching for? No, that's the ministry of a pastor. Is that the moment you recognize, don't think whenever you hear something it relates to you, it's just for you. You'll be shocked that there are 10 other people in that congregation who feel the same way, who are learning the same thing, and who relate the same way. The influence of the Spirit on His words is what God blesses you with. So, God put words in your pastor to make your life what He wants it to be. Now, it's also, that means that it's also to your advantage that you know how to receive those words. You need to know how to receive those words. See something in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2. For this cause also, we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. Oh, so there's a word of God received. Then see what happened to the church in Thessalonica. It says, when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Wow. So it means that the church in Thessalonica, in Paul's words, said they didn't receive those words as words of men. They received those words are words that were coming from God. So these Christians knew that the words from their pastor, because obviously he started the church and then he would put somebody in there, right? He starts the church and he puts somebody in there, or there's a church and he oversees the church. So they are receiving a letter and their pastor is saying that you, the way you received the words that I spoke to you, you didn't just hear me as, you know, me talking to you as just from, some words. We just heard from pastor, and he said, that's a fool. It's somebody who will never receive what God has for them. Because they cannot recognize that the words that are sent to them is the word from God to them. But you are wise, not a fool. You know that these words are God's words to you. So Paul is saying that when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So it means that the reception of the word of God in the heart of the sheep is going to tell how effective the word will work in them that hear the word. So the word effectually working is the word which has been received from the preacher as of God. And that is what effectually works. I listened to a story, great man of God, 80s, 90s, and he had just finished praying for the sick, and he was tired, and the sick wouldn't let him go. So he has to, you know, find a way to go back door, and he scales over the wall. And actually, you see, the anointing, it's very serious. So, yes. And he said it. He said that he believes that one of the things God has enabled him to do is to scale over walls. Yes, he said, God has given him the grace to scale over walls. And this is something I've been saying. And this is T.L. Osborne. Yes. I also have said it. When I heard, I was shocked. Yes. This thing, it works, so you be there and don't follow and don't learn. There's something that works, so. So he said, after he scaled the wall, he made a funny comment. He's very good at scaling walls. He knows how to. The last time I made people scale walls, they put me in trouble because they don't know how to scale walls. So he said, he just scaled the wall and stood there. And then he saw a blind man, a blind woman, who held him. After he was trying to escape, just held him. And he said, he was very tired. And the blind woman said to him, please, please, please. I just know if you will speak a word, I will see. So he was like, this is something I'm not too sure if I want to do now. But the woman insisted, please, please. I know that if you speak a word, I will be healed. So he put his hands on the blind woman's eyes and asked the blind woman, do you believe that God has sent me? And do you also believe that Jesus will heal you in the words that I speak? The lady said, I believe. And he said, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes, be open and regain your sight. And he said, the moment he said it, she quickly removed his hand off her sight, and that was how the blind eyes popped open and she began to see. You see, let me tell you something, believe it or not, is unarguably true. God makes somebody a blessing for your sake. If not, he would not have these offices of the pastor, of the teacher, of the prophet, of the evangelist. Then their responsibility is to equip you for the work of a ministry so you will be effective in what he has called you to do. So that's a typical example of somebody who is able to tell that I will not receive your words as the words of mere men or as the words of a mere man. But as it is in truth, I'm going to hear God in that. How are you able to intelligently hear God in the voice of your pastor? Are you able to hear God in that? Are you able to hear God in that? Or my words to you are just enticing words? It quotes a man's wisdom. So, wow, that's good, but. So, the church in Thessalonica, right, they received the words of Paul as the word of God. So, these Christians knew that the words from their pastor was God's word, not his. This is the first thing you need to know and do if you will maximally benefit from the teachings and the instructions of your pastor. Don't wait for me to say, "Thou sayest the Lord," before you take it seriously. I've told you that, you know, you shouldn't wait for those things. "Thou sayest the Lord." Don't wait for those things. Don't wait for those things. Don't wait for "I see in the realm of the spirit." Don't wait for those things before you take it seriously. So that means it's evidently not how I say it, is how you receive the word. That's what matters. That's what matters. And truly, your pastor acts on delegated authority by God himself. So your pastor is standing in for God. He is pastoring you on behalf of the chief shepherd, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, 5 verse 4 calls Christ the chief shepherd. Isn't it amazing? He calls Christ the chief shepherd. Then he calls others shepherd of the fold. So Jesus is the chief shepherd. And then that chief shepherd delegates authorities for other shepherds to shepherd in his stead. So when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Faileth not. So he's delegated authority. Jesus has given your pastor the power and authority to act in his stead according to his commands and according to his instructions. So he's pastoring you on behalf of Jesus. So his words are the words of Jesus, the one that he represents. It means that disdaining and, you know, colonizing the words of your pastor, just saying that all your is directly insulting Jesus. Matthew 10:40. Matthew 10:40. "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." If you receive the servant of God, it's almost like receiving God himself. If you receive the words of your pastor as the words of Jesus, is you receiving the words of Jesus himself. So the Thessalonica church has the word of God working for them, because these set of Christians took their pastor's words just like they would if God was to appear physically to them and talk to them. And we are told what happened. The word taught them worked effectively in them. So how you receive the words of your pastor will determine what you will get from it. That's how many people can be in church and then they slander the pastor. They talk against the pastor. Listen, if you don't want to be in a place, I'll give you free advice. Leave the place. Don't talk about the leadership. And don't talk about the pastor. It's not a blessing. No, it isn't. So there are people in churches, they are in church, but they aren't making any significant progress. They're not making any growth. They're not seeing any growth. They're not growing spiritually. they are not becoming effective. So you're going to change the way you receive the words of your pastor, and there'll be so much of a tremendous change in your life. And those words are going to be building blocks for your life and your destiny. Don't you think everywhere people are going to receive the words the same? They're not going to be received the same. Jesus had 12 disciples. Jesus was the best pastor in the whole world. 12 congregation. Solid 12 congregation. One turned out a thief. So you're going to be then be saying, oh, you know, Jesus, we're going to be fine. It's not everybody receives the same. Some, you say something over and over and over and over again, and they still do not receive it. You are doing your own self. Huh? You are hurting yourself. How many times would something have to be said before it's done the way it ought to be done? So Jesus, who was the best pastor? Because if he's the chief shepherd, then it means that the chief shepherd should have more teaching skills and more teaching equipment and more teaching whatever. But still, one person didn't turn out well. And then the others became great apostles. They attended the same church with the same pastor, but they ended up differently. Isn't it amazing when others are saying, thank you, pastor, for being the best thing in my life. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for teaching me God's word. Thank you for being there. Another person is then saying, well, what at all? Differently. What at all? What at all is so special? Because they do not receive the same. They are different. They cannot see the same. And so their results will not be the same. You can be pastoring 10,000 people and all of the people are being blessed. That's going to be a lie. Not because the pastor is not a blessing to all. No, the people are not receiving the way they ought to receive. It's also not how your pastor is teaching, it's how you receive what you're being taught. So this one is not anything really. If it's not anything, wouldn't you have been doing it by now? Oh, I already know it. You already know it, but we can't see the fruits in your life. You already know it, but we can't see the fruits in your life. If you know it, we'll see fruits. If you say we've had discipleship, how many disciples do you have? How many have you raised? Say prayer, 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 prayer every time, prayer. What is your prayer life like? We need something more revelatory. What have you used or what have you done with what you know? Come on, sit down. Go and sit down there. It's like that student that's always looking for you. We are in JHS2, you are looking for SS1 things. You are calculating what you call EMAS. Meanwhile, commas, when you can, you score 42 and 57 and go. What we are doing, JHS2, you are scoring 57 and 52. You can't even score 75. You always come and put equations down and you solve it. Have we learned about this SS1 calculation? Me, those calculations, when I see, I just look at them quietly. The one that is you are supposed to learn and pass, you don't know. The one that you they will not ask you. That's what you are saying you want to know. Sure, everybody has had that guy in their class or that lady in their class. You, what we are doing, just we are not even simple. They bring the last mock. Highest 65, 66. We all are swimming 47, 49, 42, 41, 51, 55. Then one person will get 62. Then you come and put in, what do you call it? SHS 1, what? Hey. See, salvation is a basic thing, but you can't teach it. And tongue speaking, getting people filled in the spirit. We need some. But you, how many people have you gotten imposed? So you see, just tell yourself to calm down, eh? Calm down. Okay? Yes. So I'm teaching you how to be blessed by words that come to you. Don't hear something and hear it again and feel like I've already heard it. That's a bad listener. But when it comes to mastery, you cannot do without repetition. No, you can't do without repetition when it comes to mastery. You should hear it again and again and again and again and again. Over and over again, and it should still remain fresh to you and came to you when you heard it. And that's how you create depth. Depth is created, it's by repetition. So you cannot be blessed by a church and a pastor who you don't really revere. Yeah. That's why churches are stagnant and they are becoming frustrated, while others are enjoying, you know, quantum growth and increase. Yeah. So you resist the words that are supposed to bless you. Whatever blessing that those should come with, you don't partake of. Remember, you are asked by words. Some of you can act and laugh and say, hey, yes, I don't do it. Few of you. So when you want to listen, you don't listen. You're pastored by words. See something second to me. Chapter 3, verses 8. Paul is actually in the second epistle to Timothy. Speaks about two people, right? James and Jambres. And what are these people doing? He says, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. They are resisting their pastor's words. Say, we are praying tomorrow by 10 p.m.
Oh, 10 p.m. is too early.
It's not too late. 10 p.m. is when you are not going to be a blessing. And you are not going to be blessed. Right? Resisting the truth of God's word, they resist it. They withstand it. They have corrupt thoughts of whatever is being said. They stand against it. They speak against it. So don't become, these are people that resist. They stand against the pastor and his word and instructions. Anything that he tells someone like this, you can come and say, "Pastor, we thought this one would work better, so then we want to do it like that." No. I've already said it here. Unapologetically, we all preach and we all teach the same thing. You don't like the same thing, you can't be here. Oh, yes. If you think you have some kind of revelation that's higher than what we all preach, we all are teaching the same thing. I texted some of my leaders and I said, "Hey, if I text you and I get to realize that you are teaching something else, you will." Yes. The same thing. The same thing. We are preaching the same thing. So these are James and John. No. Resist the words. There was another guy like that. He was called Alexander the Coppersmith. That's very important. Let's see him. 2 Timothy 14. 2 Timothy 14. This one. And sometimes the people that Alexander's in the church resisting the words of your pastor. They're preaching, they're not smiling. They're preaching, they're looking at you like this. So what is he trying to say? Is he? No. We don't like it like this. We don't do it like this. 4:15. So beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. And this is the first time you hear Paul say that, this guy, the Lord repay him. He says that in verse 14. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. God should pay him back for his for resisting me. And the much harm was that he resisted the message we were preaching to him. He stood against it. Students are instructions. So he was actually highlighting Alexander and telling Timothy that, you see this guy, avoid him. Because he's stopping what I'm preaching. He's standing against it. So do not have anything words. Raising up people and telling people that they should not listen. He has done me so much. The Lord repay him. Alexander the coppersmith. So, I'm teaching you fundamentally how that you can, you see that your pastor says something, it works in your life. Your pastor teaches something, you're apt to teaching it. Your pastor leads you in a direction, you're moving. And let me tell you something. See, God, all he has are men. Yes, all he has are men. You can ask him, he'll tell you. All he has are men. So if all he has are men, he's going to be using men. Don't forget that. He's going to be using men. Men is all he has. show me a church that's an angel pastors. We'll all go there. Everybody will go there. Just tell me that it's in Techima. We'll all go and see. Show me. Angel Pascaline. Pastor to the church of Techima in branch. We are all going to see. We want to see. Hey, Wawa. So all God has are men. Don't resist the men he has sent to be a blessing to you. He chose them for you. Don't resist the men. Love them. Lavish your love on them. Spread out good gifts on them. That's all God has for you. So Alexander the coppersmith is resisting the words of Timothy. Hey, said this guy has made my work difficult. There's another guy called Elymas. Acts 13:8. You're blessed though to be hearing it like this. These are fresh teachings. Acts 13:8. But Elymas, as for Hidea, is clear. The sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. The things that we have been going around and teaching this Jew, there's a man called Elymas. He is a very bad man. Look. And do you know something? There was Sergius Paulus, and he was an intelligent man. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. But here is Elymas, the sorcerer. He withstood them, and he was seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. That was when Paul cursed him, and he could not see. Immediately a dark mist fell on him and he could not see it because he was trying to resist the words of the pastor to the people, resist the word of the apostle to the proconsul. I see somebody's progress becoming very tangible because they are going to learn how to receive and how to profit from the pastor's words. And I told you, you are going to be pastored by words. If I say, where are you? Oh, pastor. Pastor, please. I'm at my grandfather's place. But you are not at your grandfather's place. You are not there. You are lying. Did you do your reports? Where's your report? I've not had your reports come. Pastor. I didn't know. Pastor, I have already. We are fasting. Pastor. No medical condition, nothing. You are just having your own excuse. The word of God says this, the word of God says this, the word of God says this, we are preaching this, we are teaching this. Pastor. You see, hey, nope. We're going to learn something from the Thessalonian church and learn to receive words. Don't forget, you're going to be pastored by words. Are you listening? Words should bless you. Words should encourage you. Words should stir you up in zeal. There are messages that come. They should make you more convicted. There are messages that come. They should make you more open. There are messages that come that should make you give yourself first to the work and to give your resources. Don't be difficult to be pastored. Pastor says, we want to raise this, we want to buy this. We want to have crazy people who give without thinking. Pastored by words. See, pastor says, we are hitting this target. We're getting it. No tricky. Pastored by words. Walking in love. We're walking in love. Pastored by words. We're praying 4 a.m. Pastored by words. Not that you are praying for anything. Pastor should have known that 4 a.m. will wake up and go to work. That's a silly shepherd. I mean, a silly sheep. It's not going to grow. We are pastored by words. Sometimes there are instructions that will come to you. Things that you ought to do. You ought to know that's how you are going to be pastored. You're going to be pastored by words. Right? Do not be like an Elimas, a Jane, and Jambres, an Alexander the coppersmith, who resists words. Say, move from here to here, pastored by words. This week, I mean, like for example, I've already told us that now our evangelisms are versatile. Saturdays, everybody's supposed to be there on Saturday. But aside Saturdays, various campuses, wherever, we go for evangelism Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Friday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Everybody should be moving up and down, pastored by words. So the people who are actually pastored by words, you see that they pick up those words and they begin to add it, incorporate it into their lives and not give me flimsy excuses and try to help me understand that you are very busy. The word of faith taught you, pastored by words. The word of healing taught you, pastored by words. People of God, if we're going to see God's tremendous grace in our lives through His vessel to us, our hearts are going to be open. We're going to be pastored by words. Should it make it difficult for your pastor? Should it make you feel like your pastor is struggling to pastor you? No. There should be that ease with words. Pastor said this, that is it. We're all going in that direction. No, pastor said this, but you see, when I consider, no. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're catching wisdom to flow and to receive of this ministry that you have given us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.